I'm Molly Plunkett. I am a member of this congregation and chair of the Social Action Committee. Welcome to Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society. We are a congregation that welcomes people of every ethnic and religious background, whatever color, sexual orientation, gender, or family structure. We welcome you no matter what your age or abilities or inabilities. On Sunday mornings, we provide a wide variety of services. They are presented either by a member of our society, a member of the community as we have today, or by our consulting minister, Sandra Ingram. Today we have George Penn from South Central Move to Amend, who will be telling us about that initiative. We have opening words today that are in honor of Veterans Day, which is tomorrow, I believe. And those will be read by Peter Anderson.
Actually, it's in honor of George.
The American people will pay dearly for this decision when, more than ever, their voices are drowned out by corporate spending in our federal elections. Former Wisconsin Senator Russell Feingold.
Today we have with us George Penn, who is the outreach coordinator for South Central Wisconsin Move to Amend. Move to Amend formed locally in response to the 2010 U.S. Supreme Court decision, Citizens United, which ruled that there could be no limit on political donations of corporations. The group has initiated petition drives to get resolutions on the ballot in various municipalities throughout this part of the state that would abolish the concept of corporate personhood. A number of these resolutions have been passed already, starting in the spring of 2011, and they're continuing their work to expand to have local municipalities pass these resolutions, and I think George can explain what their long-term goal is and short-term goal is. George has described himself to us variously as a citizen democracy reformer. He says that's his favorite, as a nuclear engineer, as an energy consultant, and he has, I think, many other feathers in his cap. So I don't know if you want to say anything more about yourself or not, George.
All right, thank you very much. That's enough. It's not me that's important, it's my country that's important.
I may not need that because I reject it.
No, we're here for the people with us.
Can't hear me,
we do need
the
microphone.
Oh, it's pretty bad
here? Okay. No, it's people with assisted hearing.
Oh, okay, good. All right. So raise your hand if you can't hear me. You can't hear me well, is what you're saying. So can I hold this thing?
No, he'll take care of that.
Oh, okay. I got you. All right. So any better on the projections in the back? A little more?
Not much.
Not too much more. What's that? Oh.
Yeah, I've got two hands.
Can we?
Yeah, can we turn this thing off, or do we need to? Or
it's off. Oh, okay. All right. In the back there with the red hat, can you hear me? with the earphones, are you good? Okay, good. All right, good. I'm a challenger, so I'm going to give a challenge here, and let's see who gets the answer right. I'm going to give you a quote or a line, and you tell me where it comes from. We are all architects of the future, living in the walls of time. Anybody know where that came from? The first lines of the hymn. An agape kiss to you. Right? How fitting, when I saw those words and read those words and sang those words. We are all architects of the future, living in the sands of time, and we are in troubled times here, I believe. And I'll explain to you why, and I hope I didn't just go, good. All right, so how many people have not heard of Citizens United? Be honest, it's a lot of people haven't. All right, so I'm going to talk about that as a framework of the problems that we have in this country and how we're going to get things improved here. Let me find my page down. All right, again, as was introduced. What happened? Okay, yeah, keep yelling at me if that's if something goes wrong, because I'm looking over here and I should be looking here. So move to amend was the South Central Wisconsin was, I believe, the first chapter of move to amend started in April of 2010. Citizens United, let's quickly go with that, and I'm going to have to go fast because 20 minutes is short for all I have to say. Citizens United is a Supreme Court case that opened the floodgates to money so that we don't have, I believe, we don't have a democracy anymore. So just it's a Supreme Court case that's that culminated in the problem that was coming, and we're going to talk about that. Move to amend another. There are five. Let's see if we get it right here. All right. So we're going to talk about money and politics. How do we get here? Here meaning I believe we have no democracy, or we're headed to no democracy. How does corporate power work with the UU principles? How's the problem of corporate power juxtaposed to the UU principles? And then what can we do about it? All right, this is really a good assignment that we found here. How can politicians represent you when they are given millions, literally millions to billions, to represent someone else? That is the two sentences that I think tell us where we are, and that's a problem we have. So we believe the system is legalized bribery now, all right, the way it's set up, and in that if they pay for campaigns, if I pay for your campaign and I give you $1 million to run for senator, I have expectations. You don't deliver for me, I'm not going to help you the next time you're running. It's that simple, right? It's legalized bribery because they don't say, oh, I'll give you some money. And they don't even say, I won't vote for you. You know it. You know I'm not going to give you money next time if you don't give me what I want. So that's why it's legalized bribery, because there's really no bags of money being passed anymore. It's a different role, right? I want to talk about three court cases, Citizens United being the third of it, that we've got an 11-foot map that shows the court cases of how we got where we are. I'm going to talk about three of them. One of them, 1886, Santa Clara Southern Pacific court case. It's not important what it was about. What's important was the gentleman whose face is there, who was was formerly president of a railroad company in New York, right, was the court reporter in California for this case. And in the head notes, not in the findings of the court, but in the head notes, he said, we believe that corporations are persons. Now, one of the dissenters on Citizens United we're going to talk about said this is clearly legal myth, because there was no legal precedent, but it became a judicial precedent. If there's any lawyer here, and anybody who knows about law, it's so much based on precedent. So if you can get a lie, if you can get something in there and people start doing it, it becomes in the psyche real. And that's what corporate personhood is. It is not a real thing. So that was the start of that. Let's go 90 years later, right? 1976, the Supreme Court rules that political money is equivalent to speech, right? And this this ruling expanded protections of final, so it's equivalent to speech. So hence, so now we cannot limit the speech of any person. So you see the tie here, subtle, but clear. If I have a, you don't want your speech limited, do you? You want her speech limited? We all agree we don't want our speech limited. We all agree that all persons should not have their speech limited. If you're a corporation, you're a person. Therefore, do we agree that they shouldn't have their speech limited? That's the logic that works in the judicial system. I hope that's clear. Then finally, we get to Citizens United, and we say that's opening the floodgates. Now, we all know who Feingold is, and we probably all know who McCain is, and most of us probably heard of McCain-Feingold, which limited money in the 1990s. They said McCain-Feingold is dead, and all limits to contributions are dead, and no government, because corporations are persons and have free speech, no governments any longer can limit that speech with limits on contributions. I hope I'm getting logic through in this short and quick, short version here. Let's talk about it financially. every other year is a presidential, the one that's a little higher each time, right? It's a presidential race because I have an extra race to run here. So I've got this cycle here. In 2008, which was a presidential, I got a big jump. And Citizens United was in 2010, January 2010, that's November. It didn't go down, it should have gone down, right? It didn't go down, it went up. So this is a non-presidential rate in 2010 that the money contributed, what's called outside, not including the party. So this is the money that's contributed for all these negative ads you have here, right? Not the money that went to the campaigns in this particular graph. Point is, there's a cycle that's been broken of it going down when it's not a presidential race. If that doesn't blow your blood, this is the same graph with one chart added in 2012, right? This is a next presidential campaign, and it's gone triple, right? So anybody who's, I'm an engineer, I understand what exponential growth means. And anybody who doesn't, it means not, all right? That's exponential growth, linear growth, all right? So that should tell you, did Citizens United impact how much money's going into the presidential races? You bet it did. This is a nonpartisan issue. We've got Barack Obama, Mitt Romney, both of them, just for the presidential race, almost $1 billion apiece. What could social justice do with $1 billion? Right? $1 billion, that's both of them. This is not a partisan issue. And there's a group, I live in Madison, so I'm surrounded by liberals, which I assume most of you are from some of the comments, which is fair. I accept all political persuasions as we all accept religious or anything else, right? Point is, we know this is not one party. They both have the same rules and they both get the same money to both make the same decision. Lobbyists. We all heard what lobbyists is. That's when you go out of government and you start going back and telling them what you need, right, from them because you got the money, but in, of course, a proper way, so it becomes legal bribery. Lobbyists and wealthy donors use campaign contributions, illegal bribes. We spent $6 billion on all elections, and so $2 billion of that was presidential elections, right, I talked about, $4 billion for all the other elections. That's at least doubling of the previous cycle. In one cycle change, I'm doubling. Anybody knows about exponential growth? Doubling in one cycle change is quickly going to get you, you know, it's just a phenomenal growth rate. We'll see what happens here in 2014. Who's paying for this? Right here, 99.75% of persons who contributed, so if you contributed any money to a campaign, you're part of that. If you didn't contribute any, you're not part of that. So we're just talking about people who contributed. 99.75% contributed less than $200, and 0.26% contributed more than $200. So if you contributed $201, you're in the 0.26%, right? What is that? How does that come to funds? Two-thirds, see the blue? That's equivalent to that blue. Two-thirds of all the money, two-thirds of that $6 billion, which is about $4 billion, if anything you can do fast math, came from 0.26% of donors. Where's your voice, right? If you gave $1,000 to somebody, do they want to listen to you? I don't think so. They want to listen to the guy who gave them $100,000 to $1 million, right? So this is another blowaway chart to me, right? Where the amount of money in came from that small amount. Look at it another way. 32 biggest donors who contributed most, put money through these super PACs and these black money PACs and anything you've heard, of about $313 million. So the top 32 gave $313 million. It took 3.7 million of us who didn't give very big money to contribute that same amount. Which voice do they hear? If you're one of the 3.7 million, you're not heard. This is why you can hear in my tone, I'm very passionate about getting our country back here. I skipped a slide, thank you. Okay, so just public opinion. Is there too much money in politics? 87% of us say yes. So that means both parties of us, minions of voting, we 87% of us say yes. Does this money expenditures, is this bad for democracy? 87%, yes, it is bad for democracy. So we know we have a problem with our democracy as people. Corporations use their rights, all right? So it's not the corporate personhood is a small fraction of the problem. I'm sorry, donations from because of corporate personhood is a small fraction of problems. They use this right in many ways that are not related to elections. They refuse to disclose what's in their products because they have privacy, right to privacy, right? Which amendment is that? Well, okay, there's all kinds of numbers. We'll look at that later. Freely advertise harmful products. You can't stop them from advertising harmful products. So there are court cases and decisions behind these. These are general senses, but there are actually court cases that we could talk about in Q&A. You could ask it if you want to. They can't be inspected without appropriate lag time, lead time, blah, blah, blah. So there's all these reasons that corporate personhood is bad for the democracy outside of the money. If we stopped the money and we had corporate personhood, we would not be stopping big problems. So it's not just stopping that money. Oops, I'm hitting a little too hard here. So this is a freshman orientation graph, right, given by the Democratic Party in 2012. Both parties are complicit. Oh, you're in office now? You better spend 40% of your time getting money for your next election or you're going to be out. 40% of their time, they have to be going looking for money. And that's what they're suggesting is appropriate. We have another graph that breaks it down by the hours of the day. But so they know that they don't, you know, they when they say we don't like it, they don't like raising the money. They like that it keeps them in office. You know, that's a two-sided sword that they don't only give you the one side of the sword. When they leave, on average, anybody, if this gentleman here was a senator, Phil, and you left to be a lobbyist, you would do it if you're a typical politician because you're going to get a raise from a piddly $200,000 to millions to be a lobbyist, to go back to talk to the new senators, right? So their raise, so this lobbying problem is big within this whole context. So Move to Amend has some strategies to try to turn this around. Can anybody tell me how much time I have left? Give me a sense. And what time is it? Yeah, so what time? 5:02. All right, good. All right, so Move to Amend has some strategies. As was suggested earlier, we were one of the first affiliates, it's called affiliates, to pass, if not the first, I'm still trying to sort this out. We weren't the first affiliate to be formed, but I think we met Madison and Dane County were the first, possibly the first passed resolutions asking for a constitutional amendment in April 2011. So these guys, it was before my time with them, right? Within a year, they had a resolution passed, two resolutions. I remember voting on it without even knowing this group existed. You might remember voting on it, or you might not, because when we see resolutions, we kind of say, yeah, I agree with that, next thing, you know, So we want to get resolutions passed in communities. 23 communities we've successfully. We're working on 10 right now for April. Right, I was just yesterday collecting signatures in Lake Mills to get that community. So that's one strategy. Focus on local resolutions and campaigns. I don't mean political campaigns, right? I'm getting signatures to put on the ballot a statement that says corporations are not people, money is not free speech. All right. Build a truly grassroots movement. We believe this is no less challenging than women's right to vote, the two failed equal rights amendments, which is sick in its own parsing, or any other constitutional amendment. This I've said this 100 times. Everybody will hear it probably if they talk to me ever again. I hope to be alive when we get the amendment. I will not be alive when we get our democracy back. This is that long of a challenge. I'm 62. If you give me, I got 15 to 20 years ago. I believe it's going to be longer. That is what I'm saying. Right? Citizen lobbying. We got other approaches that we're going to be taking when we grow. We have to grow, and that's what my goal is here, is to grow. All right. So I went to the next page. Proposed ballot. So what we're trying to do, what we haven't done in Lake Mills, we have language that says two things that I set you up for. Right? Only human beings, not corporations, unions, anybody else. If you don't have flesh and blood, you're not a human being. We want that clarified in the Constitution because it's been, if I can use this word in a non-offensive way, it's been bastardized. right? And money is not speech, and therefore, limiting political contribution spending is equivalent, not equivalent to, right, to limiting free speech. So this is all the Orwellian languaging that they've conditioned people to understand. And so this is what the move to amend amendment is basically saying, with all the legal stuff in there that I can't even read, right? Progress. 23 communities we've passed, 10 we're working on right now. National MTA, so about 500 communities have passed around the country. 16 states have asked for this amendment. All right, so we, if we got it tomorrow, we'd be the 17th state. So we're not leaders here, right, in terms of the state. Right, so this is a movement, it's moving, right? And so, and we're building a democracy reform movement. We're not on a campaign. As I said, we will be doing this until after I'm gone. You know, I expect to be doing it until hopefully my health holds up for that long. So what are the seven, you guys know the seven UU principles. Some of you know them greatly, some of them have to read them once in a while. Point is, you understand them. You know, dignity, equity and passion, acceptance, spiritual growth, search, truth, conscience, democratic. Since I'm gonna run out of time possibly before I get through all seven of them to talk, see how it relates, I bolded the words that I'm focusing on in the next seven slides, all right? This relates clearly to people with a conscience for their grandchildren in their country, which you guys have, that conscience, all right? Dignity. How do I infringe upon dignity with a system that exists today, right? I have sweatshops around the world to keep the price down so the corporate profits can be as high as they are. Incarcerate people, miss my capital I, of people for minor offenses and fill prisons. So there is what's called the prison industrial complex that some of you might have heard about, that is real, that goes and makes laws like three strikes, right? That was no random thing by the people saying, I'm tired. It was that industrial complex going to the people, scaring them, and then getting the legislators to pass it. This is not, and some might start seeing conspiracy theory. That, I don't believe in conspiracy theories, but I believe you can have an organized movement over time. Torture of terrorists, segregation of neighborhoods to protect values, these are all things that make them the best money they can make. At the expense of society and the dignity of humans. Equity and compassion, reducing wage. Probably by now most of you heard, maybe younger people don't realize it, but we have not increased our wages since 1970 in real terms, right? In the last 2 years or 3 years, oh, thank you. I wasn't getting in there, thank you. In the last two or 3 years, there's another point that I'll just throw out. 95% of all profits have gone to 1% of the population. The rest of us are struggling for a living wage. So we don't have any equity when we have that kind of an economic system, right? Opposition to fair, right, fair minimum wage, right? It just burns me when I hear people say, well, those people should work harder. And I know people who work two or three jobs at minimum wage. They can't work any harder. They need to be getting a couple bucks more an hour just to get breath. So. Increasing gap in the incomes and net worth, moral hazard. We heard of that term with the banks. They won, and it's going to happen again probably because they got away with it, ultimately, right? So there's a whole bunch of reasons why this is offensive to all of our sensibilities in ways. Search for meaning and truth. Government provides preferential treatment to faith-based initiatives. By the way, anybody who wants these, copies this, or wants this production, wants to look at these numbers closer, these things closer, we can do that, but we don't have time to go over all of them. You see there, you pick the one that really trips your trigger, and you can see that there's a whole bunch of things that go on that are offensive to the sensibilities of the UU principles. Conscious and democratic process. This, you know, this list could get a lot longer easily, but, you know, redistricting that they've been doing, you know, right now our government's doing it, but that goes on all the time by both parties. And the point is, what it does, it has this result, which has been around 95% of all incumbents don't lose. Because what they've done, you want to vote for me? I'm going to carry you over to that one. You're voting for me, you're over here. That's what they do with those lines. It's important. that we get redistricting reform. We will not get redistricting reform or a thousand other things I can tell you we need to get until we have power back by getting this constitutional amendment, is our opinion. Peace, liberty, and justice, corporate pressure, you know, remember the Kyoto Principle and all of those things that we refuse to sign. When it gets me was the Cambodian bomb, right? All those bombs in Cambodia, and we're the only country that has not signed to have that banned. I shouldn't say any country, only major country who refuses to sign to ban landmines because we have so many corporations that produce them. So that's is that going to give us world peace? Is that going to give liberty? I don't think so. Respect for existence. And ignoring environmental laws, look what's going on. I've always said I'm not environmental activist, I'm an active environmentalist because I lived that and that was my career. I'm an energy efficiency and renewable energy consultant. I got a career in my muse about that. I care about the environment. We're going back this way again. We're losing all the things that we gained after some of us, not me, I didn't know enough about it, but some of you were out in the streets in the 60s and 70s, okay? We lost that race there. So the UU has produced what's called the Action of Immediate Witnesses. Most people know what that means. It means this is something we want to do, right? So in June this year, they passed this AIW to amend the Constitution. Corporations not person, money not speech. They understand it. Therefore, so I cut out a lot of therefores that, we only get time for a couple. And if you've seen this thing, you know there's about 10 therefores. I got two or three. Therefore, the GA instructs all UUA, instructs the UUA to make their endorsement formal, right? So not just understand it, but they've made it formal and formal and support, and they want, so the UUA says, as a national or global, whatever you call that level of your religion here, supporting efforts to amend the Constitution. So they said, this is formal now. We want to make this happen. And then be it resolved. So we get, did I go twice? I thought there was another therefore. I didn't want to get too many therefores out. Pass, no, one therefore, you got lucky. Okay. All right, so you're keeping me short here. So be it resolved. The GA requests member congregations, that's you, to pass resolutions to support and endorse the constitutional members established out of corporations and money. And then so their final statement, trying to impress upon their congregations is, working together with other groups and other faith traditions, so a cross-faith effort, we can make significant progress on the constitutional amendment to preserve the rights and the founding fathers intended solely for human beings. So. And I've got a copy. If your leaders don't have a copy, I've got a copy I could send to anybody of the AIW to do that. Oops. So where is business as usual taking us if we don't get this constitution in our mind? Today, America, real unemployment is real unemployment, right? The difference between the reported 7.2 or whatever and real people, if you don't know what that means, probably half of us could tell you what that means. Unemployment is... youth unemployment, over 20-40% African-American unemployment. That's business as usual that I don't see turning around given business as usual. In recent years, 95% of all income, as I said earlier, went to 1% of those who are rich because they control the financial system and they control our incomes. Meanwhile, 46.5, this is all Bernie Sanders, anybody knows who he is. This is something he recently put out, I took from, right? Highest number ever. So that's where I got my data. Tragically, we have the highest rate of child poverty of any country, any major country, with the wealth of the 95% and we're getting 1%. One in four kids is on food stamps. And I bet you there's some people in here that are on food stamps because if you're only getting a minimum wage, you're probably on food stamps, right? Our goal is to get the get our constitution back to we the people from we the corporations. And we're looking to figure out how to do that.
So why do I know so much about the UU Church? Because one, I did my research, but I'm working with a guy in Ohio, his name is Michael Greenman, who has taken it on himself to enact the AIW, right? And so he's my mentor. I'm working with him on how do we get this to really happen around the country. I'll leave it there with questions. I think that's it. Yep. All right. So what's the process? So let me respond to that. Have anybody seen us on TV? We've been doing press conferences and things. Have anybody seen a press conference for Mutamen? They either don't come, literally, or when they come, they don't put it on the news. It's against their profits or, goals. So that's very critical. There's another whole industry of media reform that I was, before I joined this movement, that I was very into. All right, so let's go over civics that I had to relearn 2 years ago. Okay? If you don't remember this, don't feel bad. Unless you're in the eighth grade where they're teaching it to you. then pay more attention, okay? So I can get a constitutional amendment one of two ways, top down, bottom up. Top down, I get both houses to say I want an amendment. They create it, they pass the law, they send it back to the states. 3/4 of the states have to ratify it. The state legislators have to ratify it, all right? Three-quarter. I'm sorry? No, this is the Wisconsin thing to two sessions. So top down, none of us believe that's going to happen. The system works from, however, Bernie Sanders, no, it's not Bernie Sanders, I'm sorry, Mark Pocan and a guy named Nolan have this amendment that they can't even get co-sponsors on, all right? And we have this amendment, Chris Taylor and Hansen have this amendment in our state. It's not going to go anywhere. So the point is, it's not going to happen top down, bottom up. We can go one of we. Technically, the way the Constitution says it, Article 5 of the Constitution, is that you can get 2/3 of the states. That'd be 34 states, right? Can say I want the resolution like 16 have. So we're halfway to that in a sense. Then they have to have what's called the Continental Congress, remember, right? And they have to all states get together, they change the wording. Those 16 states all have different language. That's human, that's right, that's democracy. So they have to come together and come up with a common language, and then they send it back to the states for 3/4 ratification again, right? So. That approach has two dimensions. One of them scares people, the other doesn't. One is to go that route, it's called runaway convention. Once you call for a constitutional convention, they can change anything in the Constitution. So that scares people, but that's never happened. And the only time we even had a constitutional convention, anybody know that? Who knows enough civics? One time, and I got, I'll give you a hint, I got 10 amendments then. All right, that's the only time we've had that. Every other time that we did the approach were taken, they choked, right? And they came from the, so once we got enough states, except for the Equal Rights Amendment, right, twice, once we got enough states for the women's right to vote, we didn't have to have a constitutional convention because they said, uh-oh, the people have spoken, they choked and did it from the top, you see? So those are ways you can do it. How are we impacting that? So we want to become the next state to have more states. And in order for we to do that, we have to get our state to do it. We cannot force our state to do it, so we have to intimidate them. We have to intimidate them by three approaches. The one we're doing here is getting more communities. We have 23 working on 10, and we're going to work on that 10 this year. If we can get what we need is a champion in that community. And then we help them. That's our goal, is to help all these communities. I'm with Lake Mills. I've been to Lake Delavan collecting signatures. So we want to get not 23, but 230 communities, as times 10, just number to make it say it's got to be big, right? And also, we have a second thing, which is called the Movie Coalition, MOVI, Money Out, Voter In, of which Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, those of you know who they are, I know you all know the League of Women Voters, and there's 36 organizations in the state are part of this campaign, of which we're going directly. We've got 25,000 people who have signed a movie form, And I'm going to encourage that I leave one with you, and if you guys want, have everybody here sign it. And then we're going directly saying, okay, now we've got 25, we're going to have 50, we've got to get a couple hundred thousand, a million people to sign this form as a direct, right? And then as we grow, because that's our goal, we're going to grow into a movement or we're going to fail, right? As we grow, then we're also going to go and do legislative lobbying kinds of approach where we, wherever they pass it in the community, we're going to get those people to go directly and say, hey, we pass it in our communities around here. We want you to vote on it, on this Taylor and Henson bill or whatever it is the next time around. So that's our strategy. Thank you for letting me clarify it.
Here.
Okay, well, we all have our stories, yeah. Right? Whether we do something or not, there's a story behind it. And you've allowed me to get personal, and I thank you, right? So I was in the Navy after high school, 6 years, in the Atlantic Ocean, nice and safe, during what war? Yeah. Vietnam War. I consider myself a Vietnam-era veteran, all right? I would not use those two words, Vietnam veteran, without the word era, for respect for any of you who were in Vietnam, because I was not at risk, all right? I was no hero, but I was aware of a war. What did we do in 2003 in this country that's notable in history books? Thank you. We went into Iraq, right? I took my head out of the sand, and I've been searching for an answer. I told you I was part of the Democracy Reform Committee. I'm a member of the Independent Party group in New York, that national, but none of those have a real action plan. They're just telling us about the problems, right? This came along last year, August is when I joined, and I first heard about it. I've been looking for 8 years for something. I voted on this in April 10, and I didn't know this group existed. Right, we need to market ourselves as well. That's why I'm here today, right? Point is, I was triggered by something so individual, right? I'm hoping one or two of you will have your own individual triggers to see this and join us, but it is, everybody's got a story. Thank you very much. I'll let somebody else mess with this here.
The service is concluded, and we thank you all for coming today. Please extend a hand of friendship to your neighbors and stay with us for coffee and conversation.